Hey guys, Tim here. And is your gym stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month and you know that you're capable of doing more? You need to check out the Springboard. Springboard's our new 12-month coaching program designed to help you hit $30,000 a month in stable, recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym, just visit gymownercoach.com. That's gymownercoach.com for all the details.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined as always by Randy Engston.
Good to see you.
And we got a special remote episode here in the Outer Banks. We are sitting looking at the ocean with our guest speaker here, Joey Coleman. What's up, Joey?
Hey, Tim. Thanks so much for having me. I got to say, I've had the pleasure of being a guest on a number of podcasts. I've never had a backdrop like this. Guys, well done. This well is done. Fabulous.
Yeah. Fabulous. Yeah. So guys, we're here at the Iron Circle Experiences. We do two of these a year. Picked up a couple of these nice mansions. This happened to be on the sand with the wild horses walking around. We got a beautiful view. So if you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and check us out. Nick, you can be able to get the background here. All right. Well, good. So Joey's here. We brought in Joey for a lot of reasons. One, we've all read your book. We love it. Never Lose a Customer Again. Have not read your other book, Never Lose an Employee Again, which is another, I'm sure, amazing book. But, you know, at the end of the day, the fitness industry is a difficult business, right? It's just difficult. We sell a product, and we spoke about this the other day, that people really don't want, right? Right.
They need it, but they're not excited to right. say, yeah. today I'm going to work out. This is going to be awesome.
And as much as we feel like we're doing a great job, we sometimes are at the mercy of somebody's motivation today.
Yeah.
They don't really feel like it. And so really what we wanted to bring in is help us with the customer experience across these gyms and see if we can't cut down that attrition number. Because boy, it's difficult to get clients, but if we feel like we're always looking to bring in new clients mm-hmm. all the time. It's like if you were to look on anybody's list of things that they felt like they needed to fix in their gym, it's always gonna be, we need to bring in new clients, even though
they're running out the back door
yep.
as running. Quickly as they bring them in the front door.
Yes.
Let's just get more. It'll be better.
That's the feeling, right? Yep. We just need more leads, more totally. Clients, more members. I'd love to get your take on this, man, because, you know, have you worked with gyms before specifically?
I have, and I've worked with businesses across all industries globally. And what we found is this problem is not unique to okay. gyms, okay. right? And respectfully, I know you all think you're bright and shiny and different and special, and you are. Mm-hmm. And human nature tells us that we are more inclined to chase than catch.
Okay.
We are more inclined to over-optimize on wanting to go get more mm-hmm. than to tend to what we have. You know, some people can use a hunter-gatherer technique. Some people can compare this to dating versus marriage. I mean, okay. any number of parallels in our biology says go do more, mm-hmm. go be kind of a wider spread approach, as opposed to how are you going to cultivate what you have right in front of you and dive deeper. And on one hand, it is harder, but the statistics show that in terms of getting those folks to stay customers, it's actually easier. So if we looked at industries globally when yeah. I was writing Never Lose a Customer Again, and one of the pieces of research we looked at was, what does it take a cold lead across any industry and convert them to a sale? The average globally across all industries is about 20%.
20%.
About 20% of leads
okay.
become customers. When you factor in, you know, cost of the item you're selling, is it a product, is it a service? Is it, you know, what's the scenario? What's the demographic? On average, about 20%. If you're selling to someone who's already a customer, that number jumps to 60 to 70%.
Interesting.
Wow.
Okay.
So it is 3 to almost 4 times easier to sell something to someone who's already in the fold than to find someone new. And yet, to your point, Tim, everybody's like, oh, let's go put up some billboards. Let's run some ads on Facebook. Let's get some more people to join. And it's like, why don't you actually interact with the people who are in the gym right now to do more with them, to expand the relationship with them, to deepen the relationship with them so that they are referring you to their friends, so that they are bringing their spouse, their kids to come work out in your gym as well. It's a lot easier to deepen the relationship with folks you already have than to just spray and pray and hope you'll find someone new.
Well guys, go ahead.
Some of that makes sense. I mean, obviously the relationship has to be established, right? Once you've established that relationship, part of that decision for somebody to buy from you is the relationship that's created. And so when it comes to acquiring a new client, you have to do all that front end work. The like, trust, and respect factor has to be there, right?
100%.
Once you earn that, that person does like, trust, and respect you already in, like you said, in the fold. I could see that. It makes sense when we discuss it. It's interesting though, especially, I don't know if it's, apparently it's every industry, but this industry, it's leads.
Yeah.
I like the parallel to what you said though. It reminds me of our journey as with Profit. I mean, we came from the agency model and we realized it's not the leads that are needed, right? When we work with gyms for 2, 3 years, 500, 600, 700 paid trials that we provided them through their front door, they were looking at the leads. We sat back and we're like, well, you've got a lot. You've got 3 full gyms worth of leads through your door, or not even customers through your door at that point.
Right.
Why is your revenue not 2-3 times what it was when we started? Right.
And
it becomes that revolving door.
Yeah.
And unless you change that focus, it's more of the same constantly.
It really isn't. Randy, it sounds like we had a similar experience. I was running an ad agency and I had a client that was rolling out a new offering and they hired me to do this whole rebranding and product and get everything out and get the word out. And we did. And it went incredibly well. They got tens of thousands of new customers. It was a big campaign. Everybody was happy. About 4 months later, I sat down with the head of marketing and I said, okay, so we had a really successful run this year. We're talking about next year's budget. All right, what are we going to do? I'm thinking,
we're going to double down.
It's going to be great. He goes, well, you know, the numbers just aren't what we were hoping they would be. And I was like, what do you mean the numbers aren't what we were hoping? I mean, we 10X'd the goal that we had. What do you mean? And he said, well, none of the customers stayed. I said, what do you mean they didn't stay? He's like, well, we only kept about 20%. And I was like, we lost 80% of the new customers in the first 4 months. That's what got me curious about retention. And I started digging into it and I realized that so many businesses, and gyms are like this too, spend all of their time, effort, and money on attracting an acquisition and building that trust and building that rapport. But the second someone says, all right, I'm joining the gym, suddenly it's like, all right, we're going to hand you off to Frank. Frank's one of our master trainers. He's going to take great care of you. See you later.
Yep.
And we're like, the person who had all the conversations, the person who took me on all the dates, the person who knows my hopes, my dreams, my fears, is not the person who's delivering. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that your marketing person should be the person who's working out with your clients. What I am saying is there needs to be communication between the team so that we can transfer some of that knowledge, some of that understanding, some of that rapport throughout the team so everybody's creating remarkable experiences.
Sure. The congruency.
So was that event kind of the catalyst for the book and going deeper into it?
It was the catalyst for me shifting my agency to be a branding marketing agency to being a customer experience retention agency.
Interesting.
Because what I realized is there are tons of people out there talking about marketing, talking about branding, talking about how to fill the funnel, get more, grow, acquire. There aren't a lot of us out there saying, hey, what about the ones you already have? What can we do with those? And I spent about a decade using it as a laboratory to test my ideas with my clients and my agency, and then started speaking on it and writing the book and consulting with other companies and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, that exact scenario happens in our gyms. We have a salesperson or a director, and then it gets handed off to the team. And, you know, hopefully your systems are in place. That's what we teach, right? Making sure that the communication's there. Because in our formula, if the salesperson and the delivery isn't in tune, if you don't deliver on what you sold them, the trust is gone, right? Gone. And that's happened so much in this industry, especially with what we call whiz bang marketing hooks, is like, we're going to give you the moon and the stars, just join our thing. And then they're in the gym and then none of that happens.
Absolutely. Or worse, the person who's in the gym delivering doesn't know what the person who was doing the sales conversation promised.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're going to lose 40 pounds in the first week. No, you're not. Chop off your leg, maybe, but otherwise, possible. No, we're not going to be able to achieve this. And when we don't translate the conversation that the sales team has to the account management or the trainer or the team that's delivering on this, it's a huge disconnect. And then the client is saying, wait a second, well, this isn't what I signed up for. And then they leave. And when they leave, not only does the chance of them coming back plummet, they leave with a bad taste in their mouth.
Double
whammy. And so then when somebody says, well, how was that gym? Oh, well, I was a member there for a while, but you know, they're really good on the sales. Watch out. They're really slick, but delivery, there's just nothing there.
And nobody likes to be sold. You know what
no
I mean?
No one so in the history of the world like to be sold.
If that's a big takeaway that they have and that's all they can say about you, it's like no news is good news, right? Like that's absolutely. Negativity is going to spread like wildfire.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And what do you think it is, the hesitation, the resistance to going inward for other companies to work with? Obviously, gyms are right in there. Why so much focus on the front end versus the inward customer service side? What do you think it is?
Well, I think there's societal reasons. I think there's organizational reasons. And I think there's biological reasons.
Oh, boy.
Let's dive into it.
We're going deep.
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, it was probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
Societal reasons. As a general rule, our society here in the United States is about acquisition.
It is.
It's about marketing.
Sure.
It's about you should have sales. A bigger house, you should have a better car, you should have more TVs, you should have a faster computer. It's all about constantly sell, 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 more, more, more.
Okay,
so we're living in a space where that's already happening. Organizationally, if you look at the leaders in most organizations, the research shows that about 70% of executives come up through sales and marketing across the entire C-suite.
Very interesting. Okay.
So is it any wonder that in boardrooms and in C-suite conversations, they're talking about sales and marketing because that's how they all came up.
Okay.
Not many of them came up. Stop and look in a typical organization. Who does the customer service department report to? The head of marketing.
Yeah, that's right.
Weird. So let me get this right. The person who's doing delivery reports to the person who's doing sales, who's the chief marketing officer. And the chief marketing officer, when they present their budget for the year, do you think they're going to present things that have to do with, oh, wait for it, marketing? Or with the experience for the people that are already in the door? So we have organizational structures that are happening, right? Then we have biological elements that are happening. And this goes back to that people like the chase more than the catch. We like the new relationship.
The dopamine
We dump. Like the dopamine hit. Yeah. Absolutely.
Big sales,
and so, oh, big it's numbers. Someone new. It's someone exciting. I'm going to have to get curious. I'm going to have to figure this out. As opposed to, oh, we're going to have the same thing for dinner again tonight. Oh, I still, do. And I make light of it. But what I hope people are realizing is you have to keep working at it. Mm-hmm. I've been happily married for 15 years. Why? Because I try to approach each month as if it's the first month of my marriage. I try to keep doubling down into What am I finding new about my wife? What am I doing new in terms of, hey, here's a way to show her I care. Here's a way to tell her I care. What am I doing to deepen that relationship? I think we have the same opportunity with our customers. It's just most of us would rather pay an ad agency a flat fee, monthly retainer, to have them bring us leads.
Yeah, because again, going back to the chase, it's like the growth in numbers. But guys, you're hearing it here. You know this inherently, what we're saying, what Joey's saying here. If you just kept the damn members in your gym, you wouldn't have to chase down so many dang leads. I know it's fun. Trust me, we're a marketing agency at heart, right?
Totally. And I'm not anti-marketing.
Of course not.
Clear. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I am not anti-marketing. I'm just anti you thinking that marketing is the answer to all your problems.
There you go.
Like it's that. The answer to some of your problems, but it is not the answer to all of your problems.
That was the parallel to Profit. I mean, that was our big eye-opening moment when we, because again, it was a numbers thing. And we were watching the same gym owners doing the same recurring revenue 3 years into the game working with us when we've done all of that front end work. I got a question for you because the organizational side hit me. If you think of traditional organizations, large companies, things like that, it's always the front end that's incentivized. Totally. Right? Like the sales organizations are the biggest.
We get a commission on sales. 100%. We don't get a commission on renewals.
Retention, renewal. Exactly.
How about NPS surveys?
Yeah. I think NPS was fabulous in the beginning when the person being asked the question didn't know what they were being asked.
There you go.
It's now they're gaming it.
Okay.
A lot of customers are gaming the surveys and they're answering them in a way because they know if I answer a six, that's a fail. I might get a call.
Yep.
So what they're trying to do is actually create the connection that they're not getting otherwise. That's the thing. So many people are like, oh my gosh, I hate it when a customer calls. You should be thrilled when the phone rings and it's a customer. Because even if they're upset, if they cared enough to call, that means there's a high likelihood they'll stay if you fix it.
Nailed it.
Good point.
If they just ghost you, that's when the cover of my book has a balloon floating away. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. Because that's how the typical customer leaves. The typical customer doesn't flip the table over and storm out of your gym and say, you guys suck, I'm never coming back again. Mm-hmm. No, they just quit showing up. Or they give you a credit card that expires and then
they never renew it.
That's because they don't like conflict. So they just slowly ghost and float away.
Yep. Nailed it. It happens. It's interesting. Obviously every company's got similarities. I mean, gosh, Jen, this is like, I'm so glad you're here. This is like exactly what all of us need. The industry needs, I'm surprised you're not more in the fitness space. I mean, because this is like the chronic problem.
Well, I empathize with the fact that it is a huge problem. And then we also look at the fact that health and wellness, especially in the United States, is a growing problem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With every year, Americans are getting less healthy. Sorry, that's one need only walk around an airport. Yep. Or walk around a mall, around a church or a Walmart or wherever you spend your time. Just look around. And that I want to be very clear. I am not criticizing because I know it takes work. I know it takes discipline. But gyms should be exploding with customers right now because they're the solution. Yeah. But yet they're not. One of the things that some folks may be, joining in for the conversation and some of the folks that are here for the Iron Circle event may be thinking, well, Joey, I'm actually pretty good on retention. Like I pay attention to my retention. I do a good job. Great. So here's a quick little question. How much money are you planning to spend this year on marketing? Most gym owners, they can tell me many within $100 how much they're spending on marketing. I say, great. How much money are you going to spend on retention? We have a client appreciation events. I'm like, great. So again, the number is at your fingertips for what you want to spend on acquisition. But when I ask you about how much are you reinvesting back into your clients, suddenly it's, I'm going to have to get back to you on that, Joey. I'm going to have to check a spreadsheet. That to me shows that it's not as top of mind. It's not a KPI that you're actually paying attention to.
Yeah, what you focus on grows, right?
100%.
It just isn't. You're right. I mean, everybody listening is like, you're right. There is no budget. Right. I mean, maybe big clubs might have it, but even then, I don't see it. Like, I do see the holiday party here and there. what else, right? A t-shirt drop.
Yeah, and that's the thing sometimes too. It's like, is the retention stuff that we're putting into play, do our clients even care?
Absolutely. Right?
Like, are we buying, is it in alignment with the things that they actually are incentivized by, right? Like the t-shirt and the water bottle.
Exactly. Because you're like, oh, I know, we'll get one t-shirt and give it to everyone. And let's get a unisex size and a unisex cut. And it's like, okay, wait a second. And I say this respectfully to all the men listening out there. If you're all about the unisex t-shirt, great. Then just start buying women's t-shirts. If you think it's all good, just start rocking women's t-shirts, women's cut, because it's different. And so what are you doing? Who is the customer you're speaking to? I guarantee none of your customers, none of them are sitting home tonight going, oh man, you know what'll make my workout awesome tomorrow is if I show up and they've got a t-shirt with my gym's logo on it that they give me for free. None of them are saying that.
No.
None of them. None of them are sitting at home going, you know, it's only August, but man, December, I wonder if my gym's going to throw a holiday party and invite me. None of them. None of them are thinking that unless what you do is epic, unless what you do is about them. Now, there are places that have holiday parties, that have gatherings of their gym members that are epic, and they roll out food trucks and a DJ and everybody comes, and it's a social gathering that happens to take place in the parking lot of a gym. Mm-hmm. That's an investment in retention.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm gonna dive into this story. So that was us. We would have these epic holiday parties, casino nights. Chef Dave would be there. Nice. We'd have open bar. It would be in the gym, or we used to host it at different bars, but then we finally started bringing it in the gym. And it was, when's your holiday party? And I marked it off. It was way ahead. And then I finally didn't do it one year because I had just spent, you know, for us, you know, maybe 12 or 15 grand for the holiday party. It's a lot of money for the gym. And we just, you know, had drinks with these clients. And Monday morning after the event, we had cancellation requests from clients that we had just had conversations with at the holiday party. And I'm like, what we're doing isn't working. It doesn't make a difference because, in my head, we're doing this for retention, customer appreciation.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, I would get PlayStations and do raffles and bicycles and one wheels and friggin' awesome stuff. It was epic.
It was great.
Hell yeah. In fact, I couldn't wait to host them because it was so fun. Suit and tie, doing the whole time. And then I was like, you know what? Community's a fallacy. I don't believe in it anymore. I was so tarnished after that.
And
we stopped doing it because I believe once it's inconvenient for the customer, no matter who you are, and this goes probably against everything you believe, Joey, but like in this fitness industry, if you're not convenient for them, if you hold them to the agreement that they all agreed on, the 12 month, and you're trying to cancel at month 6 or 7, and you say, well, listen, like this is our policy, this is what you signed, you become their worst enemy. They're getting a call from their sister who's an attorney. Like, you're not going to hold me to this. And it's the weirdest thing because you just had a great relationship with them, and now you're their worst enemy because it's not what they want. And it's very interesting. I don't know how to approach that. And I'm glad you're here. Maybe we can talk through that tomorrow at the event, but that's not uncommon.
Attention gym owners. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Join our exclusive Facebook group, ProFit Accelerator, and unlock the potential to scale your gym to $30,000 a month and beyond. In the ProFit Accelerator group, we're going to focus solely on helping gym owners just like you win. We offer regular training sessions and share our best proven strategies to boost your business. Join us now by searching for ProFit Accelerator on Facebook. Be part of a community that's all about success and growth, the ProFit Accelerator, where gym owners thrive. All right, now let's get back to the show.
No, I agree. And here's the thing. And I didn't attend any of the parties. So I take you your word that they were epic, and I'm sure they were. Here's the interesting thing. When your epic thing becomes routine for your customers, it's not epic anymore.
Very interesting. So that's the law of
diminishing
returns. Yep.
Son and of so a gun, right?
Here's the thing.
Yep.
Every year you're trying to outdo yourself, but to them it's continuing in the same path. Now, I would be willing to bet the first 2, 3, 4 years you did it, no one canceled on Monday because they were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
You're right.
It's more in year 12, in year 15. And this is why I love this work. You are never done. when it comes to your customer experience. You may think you're done, you are never done. And that can be annoying, that can be frustrating, or that can be exciting, right? And most entrepreneurs are chasing dopamine hits. Most gym owners are chasing the hit. Mm-hmm. You're usually chasing it with, let's get more customers. How about you decide just for a while, just for a quarter, maybe a half a year, chase the, how can I surprise the ones we already have? How can I show them that when they were talking, we were listening? How can I show them that I actually understand their goals even better than they think they understand their goals and help them achieve their goals? Because that's the other thing you all have. The goal that somebody has when they join a gym is not the same goal 6 months later.
It moves.
Now you can get irritated about that. And a lot of gym owners I've met, dude, they're like, well, they said their main thing was about losing weight and they've lost a bunch of weight. I'm like, great. Did you ask them what their next goal is? Well, no. Well, okay. So we can be frustrated at them being human, or we can lean into our humanity, get curious before we get critical and say, so now what's our goal? And the goal doesn't have to be just another 10 pounds on the barbell. The goal doesn't have to be, oh, I can do five more reps than I did this time last year. The goal might be, well, now I want to work on my flexibility. Okay, great. What are we doing to meet our customers where they're at instead of trying to force all of them in? So many, now you've got me ranting.
There we go.
So many gym owners, and I say this with respect, are running service businesses that they are desperately looking for product revenue. So they're thinking about, because product is easier than service, right? We just get a bunch of the same and they'll buy it. And what they've done is they've shifted the service to become a product. And they're expecting it to be one size fits all. And this is part of the challenge. When you first started out with your gym and you had one client, you trained them. Right. And then when you had two, you were training both of them. And you were constantly thinking like, oh, what does Sally want versus what does Francois want? And how am I going to go back and forth between the two? Well, now when you have 400 clients, you're like, all right, we're going to have two types of workouts. And I get it. And that's scaling. And I get that that's systematizing. And I get that that's productizing. But it has a cost in terms of the human experience if you're not explaining to them, this is why this is the next step in your evolution.
Nailed it. That's exact. Yeah. I mean, it's like you're coaching gym owners every day. Like,
I'm getting more excited to hear you speak tomorrow about like how we could tie this to what we do every day.
Right.
Because it's, I mean, you're speaking the things that, aside from gym owners coming to us and being like, hey, I need more leads through the door. Like, these are the things that we can continue to move the needle or keep the needle where it's at with the marketing, adding people to it. And I think that's the other half is, you know, the retention component. When you can lock that in and get that really tight, you don't need to focus on spending as much money in the marketing, right?
100%. So many of my clients, one of the reasons they love working with me is they get to take all the money they were spending on marketing, or a significant percentage of the money they were spending on marketing, reinvest it in retention. So their costs don't go up.
Sure.
Their costs stay the same, but a dollar spent on an existing customer is exponentially more valuable than a dollar spent on a prospect. It just is.
It's wild. And I'm certain referrals start skyrocketing,
100%.
Which is marketing, right?
Yeah. So it's fulfilling. Which is free marketing.
Free marketing.
Oh, by the way, that converts at a higher rate referrals stay longer than somebody that comes in cold. Because for them to quit your gym means they also have to quit the friend who referred them.
Nailed it.
Ooh. And so now we're into a social dynamic where I want to keep going because my friend who referred me is there. And it's a lot easier to get people to show up for a workout if they're going to work out with people they know, like, and love. And those don't just apply to your employees. They apply to the other customers, clients in your gym.
Yeah, it's wild. You kind of nailed it with the t-shirt for the gym logo back then. Like I would love to hear just kind of some ideas around like things. Like we did the holiday party. What can gyms do? And this will just be a takeaway nugget before we get off the show. Like, what, you know, what are some cool outside the box things that you could show and love on your clients that might show that appreciation for them?
I think one of the best things you can do for your clients is to listen when they're talking, and then prove to them that you are listening later. What do I mean by that? So let's say we're coming out of winter and it's, you know, people have put on a little bit of winter weight, mm-hmm. and we're trying to train them down. Why are we talking? Oh, well, because I've got this big trip to the Outer Banks planned and I want to look good in my bathing suit, right?
Right.
Great. They just told you that they're going to the Outer Banks. You can give them a t-shirt with a logo on it, or you could give them something that's about the Outer Banks. You could give them a gift certificate to a restaurant in the Outer Banks. Mm-hmm. So when they're here on vacation, they can go to the restaurant. You can give them a picture frame that says Outer Banks on it. Right. So when they get home and they've got their photos from their vacation, they don't have to go out and buy a picture frame. You're giving them the frame and you're like, hey, I wanted to give you this frame. I know you spent time in the Outer Banks. They're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. My only request is when you put one of your photos from your vacation in that, just snap a picture of it and text it to me. I just want to see how it looks in the frame next to your bed or in your living room. Now, when people come into the house and they see that picture on the mantle, with the photo, not of your gym, not of your trainer, but of your client on vacation with their family in the Outer Banks, mm-hmm. they look at that and they say, oh my gosh, the Outer Banks, oh my God, that's an awesome frame. Actually, I didn't even get that frame at the Outer Banks. My trainer gave me that frame.
Nailed it. Wow.
Frame costs 20, 30 bucks. T-shirt I get is probably costing you 8 to 10 at bulk. Mm-hmm. But which one's creating a story versus which one's being donated to Goodwill?
There's so much of what you're saying here, right?
Exactly. Sorry to hit you with that one, folks. I know some of you just cringed because you've seen your shirts walking around town on people that aren't your customers.
I've seen that.
It happens. It hurts. It cuts right to the core when that happens.
Well, and it's not doing marketing's job, right? Like, it's didn't bring somebody,
no, it
didn't
it's bring the somebody. Opposite yeah, exactly. experience, yeah. right?
Amazing.
There's
amazing.
So much. You've nailed it. I mean, this show, we discuss customer experience so much. And I think, I mean, just gathering, taking in what you're saying, oh, so much of it is about the personalization of the experience. And I can understand the difference between trying to systemize a business, create a repeatable process, things like that. But I think that's where we get stuck. You know what I mean? We don't have that human element in there. And that's when it becomes a little, like, I think to the consumer, it's devalued.
Absolutely. You know, over time. And let's be clear again, in the same way that I'm not anti-marketing, I'm not anti-systemization. Sure. Oh, I'm not anti-automation. Sure. I want you to do those things so that you have more time to spend on the personalization. Mm. I don't want you to feel comfortable saying, well, we did a mail merge, so we personalized our communications. Really? Really? That in the early 90s, that was revolutionary.
Oh, I bet.
It's not anymore. Stop thinking that because your email newsletter that, by the way, you don't even read, let alone your clients, let that hit for a second. Most of your employees are not reading the newsletter that you send out as an organization. Interesting. But we expect suddenly our customers to read it. We need to double down into opportunities to create unique experiences. And the reality is personalized unique experiences aren't scalable, but that's okay because the impact is so much greater than the scalable things that it pays for itself.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah. There's a lot of congruencies here with Jesse Cole.
Yeah. Jesse's a good friend. Jesse's a great friend. Oh my gosh. The Savannah Bananas, folks.
Yep. Yeah.
If you have not seen the Bananas, I don't know what rock you've been living under. They are an amazing team. And Jesse and his wife, Emily, are world-class at creating remarkable experiences.
Exactly.
Do for one what you wish you could do for many, I think was his.
He said, do the unscalable.
Yep.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Totally.
So, I mean, amazing stuff. I am looking forward to tomorrow. I'll be up bright and early to hear Joey out there coaching our Iron Circle here in the other house. It's going to be amazing. This is the perfect topic, the perfect timing. Everything's right. And it's obvious you're very in tune with the fitness industry. Very in tune. You nailed it like 20 different ways.
Oh, well, thanks guys. I appreciate that. And thanks so much for the invitation. I am such a fan of masterminds. Having been an entrepreneur for over 20 years now, if you are not regularly getting away from your gym and spending time thinking about your business instead of being in your business, working on it, you're missing out. That all the growth, all the new ideas, all the opportunities, all your personal development comes when you get out of your existing environment. That's why I love being here in the Outer Banks. Mm-hmm. I love being here with people, many of whom are new to Iron Circle, some of whom are veteran returning to Iron Circle. It's great. So it's a constant mix of new people, new perspectives. It's going to be a fantastic time.
Yeah, Joey, thank you. Love it. Thank Thank you so much, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that one. That's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.